Oh, hello there, and strap in, get ready for a very spooky, creepy Halloween episode. And the only reason I say that is because Mike Berlew's on again, and that pretty much sums up the creepy part of the podcast. But I want to tell you real quick about the sponsors that make this, make the podcast, you know, a little bit profitable, you know, keep the lights on, pay the bills, support us, you know. We got a lot of cool sponsors. So first off, we have, Manskirt Brewing. Okay, Manskirt Brewing is located in Hackettstown, New Jersey. We were there at the Oktoberfest the other day. It was just a really awesome time. If you go into the old bank building in Hackettstown, right around the corner from another brewery called Zigmeister's, Manskirt Brewing. They have seasonally inspired ales. A lot of things changing. They've put up an awesome mural up on the wall of this octopus drinking beer. It's just a really cool spot to go to. You know, they always got something different going on. Okay. Just recently, they have a new beer called Hop Jostler. Hop Jostler. And there's Obi. A fresh hop IPA made with all locally grown hops. Then they have a beer that I love the name of. It's called Badunkeldonk. It's a German Dunkelweizen. So Badunkeldonk and Hop Jostler. Their next event is November 5th, okay? That'll be here before you know. It's the 8th Annual Harvest Fest and New Jersey Microbrew Tasting Night. So please go check them out at manskirtbrewing.com. Like them on Facebook, Instagram, all of that fun stuff. All right. Bringing us to the other brewery that makes this podcast possible, and that would be Demented Brewing, located in Middlesex, New Jersey, right off of 287 there. They're in just a sweet spot. The tasting room is awesome. They have so many different beers. They have 16 different taps in the tasting room, different things going on all the time. You may have just seen their beer on Shark Tank with the guys from Physics. This is a good one. They just released it on Sunday. They just released Henry VIII, which is a sweet potato porter. And this Sunday, they're going to be releasing Out of Your Gourd, which is an acorn squash Abbey Ale. Now, if that doesn't say the fall, I don't really know what does. So a sweet potato sweet potato porty. That's real good, real good. Sweet potato porter, okay, and then an acorn squash Abbey Ale. How awesome is that? Go check them out. They always have something new. They got a bottle club. They got a sour club, all these different things, and they're only a year old. So we are so happy to have them on, and it's a great place to visit. Go to dementedbrewing.com. Check them out. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all of that stuff. Bringing us to Wolf Nation, clothing for men, women, children, okay? Basically, clothing apparel company that basically stands up for wake up, live free, waking up, living free, you know, tired of living paycheck to paycheck, going out and doing your own thing, and that's kind of what we're doing here, trying to find a way to get this show to you, and maybe make a dollar or two every once in a while, but who knows, but Wolf Nation, wake up, live free, Instagram, Twitter, Wolf Nation, W-U-L-F, not O-L-F, U-L-F, Wake Up, Live Free, Wolf Nation. Finally, Trivia Revolution. Every week, Trivia Revolution, there is all over New Jersey in different spots, different locations. Go play trivia. They're fueled by craft beer, meaning that you could win gift certificates to breweries like Demented or Manskirt or other great breweries in Jersey just for going out and playing. I host every Wednesday night at Tap Pounds 15, and it's just a great time. So even if you are in last place, you win a brewery prize. You can win a brewery prize. So a lot of good things. We're thankful for all our sponsors. So get ready for the Halloween episode. Michael Berlew never carved a pumpkin. We have someone from Friday the 13th. And we talk a lot about dead bodies and shit. Enjoy the podcast.
This is Larry Zerner, better known as Shelley from Friday the 13th, Part 3. You're listening to Verbal Shenanigans. I don't know why.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
I'm used to hearing music when I walk into a room.
Yeah. Welcome to another Halloween episode. Mike Berlow, this is our third Halloween episode.
It is?
Yes, last year we did one. We talked about Halloween.
Oh, that counts?
Three Halloween episodes. Oh. The first one. The epic one in the haunted vapor room.
Ah, okay, okay. Yep.
Last year we did some sort of Halloween shit also.
So
welcome to the third annual Verbal Shenanigans Spookcast.
We're only 26 behind The Simpsons with Treehouse of Horror. So.
Yeah, I just named it that right now. Oh, I mean, I just named it that right now.
Boo.
Lou. Boo. I'll stop whenever you want me to.
Very.
But anyway, welcome to a very special edition of the Verbal Shenanigans Podcast. Mike Berlow, it's October. There's scary things going on in the world, that's for sure. You had the debate last night.
Yep. Trump still has his sniffles there?
Just complete buffoonery. That's all that was.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so welcome back to the Verbal Shenanigans Podcast, Mike Berlow.
Yeah, good to be back. Good to be back.
We did a lot of Halloween-like things recently. So this is going to be an all Halloween-themed show. And the podcast wouldn't be complete without Obi barking and ready to go out to pee.
Mm-hmm.
Can you let him out?
You got it.
But so Mike Berlow and I and our girlfriends, we went to the Bain Haunted House in Livingston, New Jersey. I saw the ad. We were kind of planning it for a week or so. Usually that open until he comes in. Yeah, it doesn't matter. And we went to the Bain Haunted House. It was about $30. We get tickets. And it's hard to like talk normal with spooky music on in the background. But so we go and...
gas prices are rising. Ooh.
I thought the lines would be much longer, which was good. We got there and it was not too long at all. We got right in.
I was a little worried when I saw the DJ out there playing music and there was like eight cars in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm. So now, are you a haunted house kind of guy? I haven't been in years. I can't even remember the last haunted house.
I'll go in a group. I'm not one. It's just like, go to this one, go to that one. But if it's like some people are like, let's go to a haunted house. All right.
Yeah, it was. So it was pretty cool. So we go in and like the setup's pretty. It was a big place, like a big building. The setup actually has like an exterior on the interior. If that makes sense, so it has an exterior of it looks like a haunted house on the outside. Which I thought was impressive. I thought you were just going to go in and like the actual warehouse was going to be the room, but it actually built like a whole structure in there. And I'm not a big haunted house guy. Not because I really hate them, but I'm not big on like, I don't know, I'm not big on people touching me really that much.
Mm-hmm.
I know we talked about it. It might have even been the last Halloween episode about the crazy haunted houses like people do for like 6 hours.
Yeah.
Where
they're taping them up and throwing pig blood on them.
I would punch someone right in the freaking face if they tried any of that shit. And but this one said like touching and you will get separated. So I didn't know how I felt about that. I was like, all right. You know, I think part of the fun is kind of going together, you know, like going through things. But. It says right in the thing, you will be separated. We will play on your fears of being alone and blah, 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 blah. So we got in, and I enter first with Alex, and then you guys are kind of right behind us. Mm-hmm. And then they pretty much separated us right from the start, really. It was kind of like, all right, goodbye, babe. See you. Hopefully I'll see you at the end.
They're trained to do that. I mean, the second they see a guy and a girl, they know, okay, that's a couple. Guy, you go first.
Yeah, and right away they're like, okay, get in the box, you know, like get in the...
Yeah, the slide.
I didn't even
know it was a slide, and I got yelled at for
that. We'll get to one second.
Yeah.
So we get in, and like they're like, okay, get in the, I don't know what they call it, the hole or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Get in there, and you have to like go into the slide, and I slide down. Now, Berlow, tell you, explain what you did.
Yeah. So I'm used to just, you know, walking through a haunted house. You know, I don't know their setup or anything like that. So the guy's like, get down and legs first, And I figured, like, he's going to, like, berate me or do something where, like, you know, they throw something at you or whatever. So I just sit down right in front and put my legs out, and he just went, "Oh, my God, what is wrong with the educational system here? Turn around and go down the slide."
So you're trying to go head first on your back down it?
No, I just sat down and all. I thought, he's like, "Get down, head first, my legs first." I'm like, "All right. Now what, teacher? Do I get a juice box?"
Yeah. So right away, you know, that kind of peaks the scary kind of feeling. You know, mm-hmm. going into any kind of hole or box is kind of a little weird. And almost right away, they put you into like a casket kind of thing. They're like, "Okay, get in here," and they spin it around. And,
mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't mind getting into it. The only thing I don't like is not knowing when it's going to open. I'm like, okay, I hope it's not stupid. They leave you here for like 10 minutes. I'd be like, screw this.
I was waiting for the jump scare. Mm-hmm. I just figured, like, they sit you there for like 5 minutes, you put your guard down, open up some guy with like some crazy makeup on screaming at you.
Yeah. I was just hoping, like I said, they wouldn't just keep you in there and like make you like think you're a call. Like, I was like, no, that's not for me.
Yeah.
But they got
you
out quickly. And for a while, it's kind of like walking through and just corridors and hallways and people jumping in on pretty much every corner. Like, barking in your. No, I went through the mentality of I just tried to like laugh at people. And that really helped me like not be scared.
Mm-hmm.
I don't scare too easily, but I also don't love being scared really that much.
Hey.
Some people love that. Like I don't really watch too many horror movies anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm just kind of laughing at these people. And it's funny because, like, the way I think, I'm, like, looking at them, like, a lot of them were like, I'm like, oh, this guy's, like, 10 years younger than me. That kid must be 18 years. You know, I'm, like, thinking like that. And eventually I got to some toilet area. And they made you sit on, like, what mm-hmm. looked like crappy toilets. And this freaking fat guy comes up to me.
Big and I'm like, beard on him.
Big beard. And he's like, "Sit down." I'm like, okay, I'll play along. Freaking breath, man. Just breathing on me. I don't know if he did that on purpose, but he definitely smokes and, like,
mm-hmm.
breathing. I was, like, not about that. I'm like, dude. Like, I was even like, dude, you fucking stink. Like, I was like, you smell, man. But it was cool. What I thought was cool, there was a lot of rooms and a lot of different things going on.
And they don't send everybody through the same route. So if you go back the next time, you could be going a totally different route and see other stuff.
Yeah, there must be a lot of routes because it sounded like me and you probably took almost the exact same route.
I think.
And then it sounded like the girls took a different route. But it looked like at one point there was like four doors. Like one point, they like put them in fire. Like the door was fire. Like mm-hmm. I guess that's what they name them. One part I thought was kind of cool and kind of freaky was, like, they made you go through these real thin walls, and there was, like, this inflated, like, bag kind of wall, like, all the way pressed against you. Did you go through that?
No, I didn't go through that one.
Yeah, it was, like, they're just, like, just keep pushing, and, like, it was almost like you were smothered by this bag, like, and you had to, like, kind of, like, keep pushing your way through, and I didn't know how long that was going to go. I was, like,
That's a little freaky.
Yeah, like, it's right up on your face, and, like, mm-hmm. picture, like, an inflatable, like, house or something, like a bounce house or something, but on top of you, you know, like, so that was kind of cool and scary. Then you got to, like, the church area where you started talking to the little girl like she was part of the attraction, like not part of the attraction. Yeah. You're like, "Hey, how are you?
Hey, how's it going there?
Yeah. Oh, you're having fun, aren't you?" "Yeah, it is fun in here. You're a brave girl."
And then they give you the church and they're like, "Okay, you go." And the last thing they put you, like the last thing I kind of remember is that we go into like a crematorium kind of mm-hmm. plan. And they're like, "Okay, this is where we burn the bodies." And they put you into this box. And that was like, it was like the end, but that was the only part I was like, "Ugh, I don't really like this. Like, I don't like being in a dark box that's closed and it started moving, like, and sliding forward." And I was like, again, like, don't leave me in here for, like, a while because I don't, mm-hmm. that's not cool.
Yeah, I think they left me in there for, like, 1 or 2 minutes. It wasn't anything crazy to go, "Oh, my God, I didn't know what was going on." Again, in those scenarios, I was waiting for the jump scare because, you know, I'm facing forward and, like, some guy, I guess the one that let you out, he was, like, knocking on the top. I was ready for him to just open the top and scream and just, "Ah!"
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's the kind of thing when I go into, like, haunted houses. I always tell, like, the little kids who go through it.
"You should see my house."
When you go through those things, just keep your head on the swivel.
Yeah.
Just keep looking back and forth, and you'll be fine. Because the biggest scares are just...
what you don't see coming. Yeah, yeah.
The jump scares, so...
yeah.
The best part was when we you went through the same area when I'm trying to go through the maze, and there's a guy on a ladder trying to fix the light.
I'm like, oh. Creepy repairman, maybe?
Yeah, it's like the... zombies were just sitting there, blah, blah, blah. Hey, how's it going? It'll be a couple of minutes. And just sitting there. And then I, both of us, again, figure we're going the right way. We end up, like, in the back room with, like, you see, like, Gatorade bottles and stuff like that. I don't think this
is that scary.
Yeah. Ooh, Michael Jordan. Ooh.
Space Jam. so we got through it, and it gets you out in the end. It was pretty cool. Probably about 20 minutes, I'd say, I got through it.
You made about 20. Your girl
she quit.
Up. Yeah.
She quit. Apparently, they told her they were going to put cockroaches on, and they're like, someone will be there to get them off you, and that freaked her out. She thought it was real. It definitely wasn't real.
No.
First off, imagine how many cockroaches they have to clean up every day.
Oh, my God. I mean, you got that big... basically, it's in an industrial building. So if you let a couple cockroaches go through, there's going to be millions by the time you're done with the site. Mm-hmm. So
overall, a pretty cool experience. I'd probably go back again next year, maybe.
Yeah.
I want to go back. They did say there's a zombie shooting kind of thing, like a laser tag shooting zombies, which we actually thought we were going to originally. But so overall, your girl made it out. She seemed to.
Yeah, she took the longest route. I think we waited about 20-25 minutes before she showed up.
Yeah.
Just like she did holding pizzas right now.
That's how they blast to the door. There they are with their pizzas. But yeah, we made it through the haunted house and then went out for drinks and whatnot. And yeah, we survived.
Mm-hmm.
We survived. But
I was very upset. Usually when I'm somewhere scary and all people don't come back and survive.
Toby, shut up. Where is he?
I think he's over on the other. There he is.
What are you barking at?
He figured out where the pizza's at. So.
Oh, yeah, that's probably what he's barking at. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that was our haunted house experience. But yeah, we did a. We did it. We've seen each other 5 days in a row now.
I know.
5 days. It's kind of disgusting.
It's wonderful.
It's horrible.
We're becoming bester and bester buddies.
It's really disgusting.
Oh.
But
what are we doing tomorrow?
So one thing that you revealed the other day when we were talking about Halloween and stuff was that.
That's right.
Shut up.
He tells me that every week.
Yes. Obi, you be quiet too. But one of the things you revealed about yourself is that you have never carved a pumpkin before.
Yeah. Can't explain why.
Never in your life have you carved a pumpkin.
I mean, even after like we discussed it and we talked about stuff for today, I was thinking back of any occasion when I did it, and I can't think of one.
Not one. Not one day you carved the pumpkin as a child. Did you ever paint the pumpkin?
I'm sure I'd drawn on them or painted on them, yeah. You know, I'm just in the middle of the farm and all some guys yelling, me, get the hell out of my field!
Yeah, yeah.
I'm painting!
Like your dad with the nectarines or whatever? Well, Berlo, today dreams are going to come true.
Aww, okay? How so?
We have 4 pumpkins sitting here. Which
technically 5, if you want to count.
Do we?
Yeah. Warped one down at the end.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's Alex. She chose the pimply-looking one. But I still only see 4.
Yeah. You're right. I thought...
One day you'll learn to count. But so we have pumpkins here. And what we're going to do in a little while is we're going to start to carve the pumpkins. Now, you have no idea how to carve a pumpkin, right?
Nope. Didn't look it up as you requested. Yep. And,
You're gonna take a guess. So first, we're gonna observe you and kind of check in on what you're doing with your pumpkin.
Okay.
We're gonna give you no instructions at all. All
right.
And we're gonna see how you go, and then we're gonna carve our own pumpkins. And I think online we're gonna put our pumpkins, the 4 pumpkins we have here, and see if people can guess which pumpkin is yours.
Okay. Okay.
Oh yeah, last year's Halloween episode, the hack o' lantern appeared.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I thought about bringing him back. I don't know. He was busy, but maybe.
Ever since that episode, the fans went nuts for him, and he never came back.
He might have to come back. He might make a phone call or something later, but we'll see. We'll see if I have any whiskey or anything like that, and hack o' lantern appears. But a good old hack o' lantern. Berlo, we also have a guest on the show.
A little bit, but
why don't you talk about who the guest is?
Well, we scoured the globe for horror icons. We went to the biggest names like Kane Hodder and Tony Todd and Robert Englund. And we realized we're nobody, so we went lower and lower and lower. And what we got is a gentleman named Larry Zerner, who is currently a...
we got Larry Zonka?
No, no. Oh.
That would be awesome.
That would be kind of cool.
Put him on the list.
Larry Zerner, he's currently a lawyer in the entertainment field. But what he's famous for is playing the character Shelley, who introduced the hockey mask in Friday the 13th Part 3 and basically made Jason the icon that he is.
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Our team of social media and PR people are amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're looking. We're looking at each other. So yeah, that should be pretty cool. You know, we'll see what happens. We did get someone for the Halloween episode, but... Berlo, you want to play a game real quick?
Let's do it, buddy.
I was trying to think. We've done this once before, but I don't remember what I called it. So,
okay.
And I didn't have time to look back at the old episodes. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to read you four news stories. Okay, one of them is fake.
Okay.
The other three
are real.
So what we'll do is we'll read the news story, we'll talk about it, we'll get through them all, and then at the end, you need to guess which news story is real. Now, these are Halloween-themed, not really Halloween-themed, but more of the macabre, as you would say, the dark, the mysterious. They all have to do with the dead.
Okay.
The dead.
I'm used to that.
I know we've talked about it, but what do you want done with your body when you're dead?
I don't know. I don't feel the whole casket thing.
You've slept in one all your life. Why in the afterlife?
Been there, done that. Exactly. I don't know. I mean, I'm starting to see those things where, like, they take your ashes and combine it and you come back as a tree.
Yeah, I want to be a tree. The problem is I'd be like a fucking, I don't know, a Christmas tree chopped down and just thrown in the trash in a Home Depot dumpster, and that's the end of me. Yeah, I wouldn't mind being a tree, but I wouldn't want to be like in like a state park or something, so I know that they're not just going to chop me down. Like,
yeah,
you know, like,
that'd be freaky. Like your soul is trapped in there. It's like, oh shit!
I want to grow into like a mighty maple where hippies like chain themselves to me and don't want bulldozers to knock me down. Like that's what I want. Or like a tree in like my family's backyard where like my great grandchildren can swing on me and build houses inside of me. Mm-hmm. I mean, on top of me. I mean,
that'd be I guess. Yeah, in you, that'd be weird. That'd be like the Keebler elves.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know what I want done with my body. You know, like, I grew up, you know, in the Catholic religion. My mom and dad, everyone I know who died was casket, almost everyone. And then, like, as I get older, more and more people I see are being cremated and whatnot. Like, cremation probably makes the most sense. You're not taking up space in the dirt. You're not putting your family through, like, a giant casket and all this other stuff, but I don't know, man. It's freaky to think about sometimes.
You know what? If I die before you, I'm gonna put in the will. You can do whatever you want with my body. You know, right. Have fun with it.
Well, if
make it a couple episodes on Verbal Shenanigans.
If I die, I want the Viking funeral, man. I want to be my body in a ship, and you shoot an arrow that's lit on fire and just burn me to the sea.
Tragic news today. A gentleman burned a bunch of mourners who was at a funeral.
Yeah, yeah. I was just going to say, man shooting arrow at dead body kills himself.
Yeah. Uh-oh. I did it again.
But I don't know. The topic of, like, do you find yourself afraid of death?
I think if I, like, when I was a young kid, like, when I first learned about it, I remember being very afraid and kind of crying. As I'm kind of to this age, it's in my mind, but, like, nothing of, like, oh, what will happen, blah, 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 blah. I've come to the realization it's going to happen, so it's not really a concern. I'm more...
No, Zoltan might have something to say about that.
Oh, that is true.
We might be cyborgs soon.
Mm. He got back to me. We might be able to set up another call.
Oh, good. You want to appear, buddy?
Yeah, that sounds good.
But yeah, keep going on your...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, knock on wood, my family hasn't had a lot of tragedies where I've had to deal with the... Oh, you're adorable. But, I mean, I've had my dad's side, my aunt lived till she was about 89, 90. I got two uncles in the 90s, one in the mid-80s. My dad... Oh, my dad's still 70, so he's still in regular... age, for lack of a better term. He hasn't hit past the quote-unquote average peak, so...
Right.
I mean, we got good genes on the side, so I kind of look at it as, you know, if I do everything right, I'm going to be around for a little while.
Yeah, yeah.
So...
I can't wait till we're like, you know, God willing, old geriatric and still doing this, yeah. Like,
Berta, you haven't sent any tweets about last week's episode.
We're going to play a game. One of these pills isn't your actual pills. The other ones are just placebos.
Where'd my colostomy bag go?
See which pill. You got to take one of these pills, see which one's going to knock you the hell out. But yeah, I don't. It's funny you say that. I remember, like, I distinctly remember this moment in my childhood where, I don't know, for some reason I was thinking about death a lot and stuff like that. I was probably like in third grade or something like that. And I remember being like taking a shower and being like really upset. Like, oh my God, I don't want to die. Like, what? Like, where do I go? I don't want to die. Like, for some reason I thought like I was just going to die. Like, I don't know. Kind of strange. But anyway, so these all have to do with death.
Okay?
All
right.
The long roundabout way. You know, it is Halloween. So let's... I can't remember what I called this, where we had four stories, and the one was a lie. We did it for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're doing it for Halloween now.
All right.
It's going to take a lot of reading here, okay? So the first one I've entitled, Row, 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 Your Man Canoe. Row, 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 Your Man Canoe. It just took place in Minyong, Cambodia. A bizarre ritual is recently exposed by 23-year National Geographic photographer Isaac Rains. In the town of Minyong, a small group approximately of 260 men and women belong to a small sect of what could be called an extreme or perverse form of Hinduism found in ancient manuscripts from the Tao Dynasty display a very unique way of honoring their dead. I might be dying. When a man is either sickly or loses his life to a foreign disease, members of the sect place the body into what is considered the sacred Zhong River. What happens next is the real mystery. Rains, who shared his photos with Nat Geo, showed a photo of what showed the eldest remaining member of the family riding the body using a branch from a white elm tree in what seemed to be an almost canoe-like tradition. Through translation, members of the tribe claim they refer to this day as the cleansing ride. Members of the sect believe that riding the tribal body will help release the sickness while transitioning into the afterlife. Visit NatGeo.com for complete coverage of the Minyong Tao sect.
Okay.
So they ride the bodies in the river in the cleansing ride.
Yeah.
You could do that to me, too, if you want to.
That'd be cool. You got the lake right there. I hope you still have this place when you die.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe by then it'll have walls. That seems to be the new just joke that carries on and on and on. But yeah, you could ride me down the... down the lake if you want, but yeah. You wouldn't go very far.
I could stand up on you and do that paddle thing. That'd be awesome.
You could offer, like I saw on the lake, they do, like, paddleboard yoga. You could do, like, you could make a quick buck off of me, like, have people do yoga on my back, like an orca.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I could see it.
But, so that is Row, 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 Your Man Canoe. This next one's called Dead Baby Daddy. Baby Daddy.
Well, that's a cheerful title.
Yes. Kansas City, Missouri. A 26-year-old morgue worker was arrested this morning after a DNA test revealed that her newborn child was the result of a necrophiliac intercourse with a man she was supposed to autopsy. Jennifer Burrows, an assistant pathologist with the Jackson County Medical Examiner Services, is accused of having sex with dozens of corpses over the course of the last 2 years, a behavior which led to the birth of a baby boy on January 7th. According to the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department, her baby is the son of a man who died in a car accident in March 2015 and whose body she was supposed to autopsy. They allege that she, Ms. Burrows, sexually abused more than 60 other dead bodies belonging to males from 17 to 71 years old.
Well, she has a type. you know, you when you got all that selection in the morgue, you can't just pick and anyone that comes by. You got to know this is the man that's going to be with me for the rest of my life.
Now, some obvious questions would arise, like, how does the action happen here once one's dead? Does it
rigor mortis?
But does it still shoot its fun into the female?
Well, I mean, I know they release the bowels the second they die, so.
So,
maybe the sperm comes later.
Yeah, I guess
it,
so.
It's a timely manner. First the poop comes out, then the sperm comes about 2 days later.
Dr. Verloo.
Yeah. Teeth fall out about 6 days in.
Okay.
Fingernails grow.
No way do teeth fall out 6 days in. They last for a long time.
You're talking to an expert here.
Come on. So, here's the question. Can you imagine being the parents or relatives of this person, like, after hearing this? Like, oh, my God. Like, I don't care if you're distant relatives. Like, how do you even acknowledge that to anyone else?
Yeah, that's weird, that first family reunion after that. It's everybody looking at each other like, all right, who's going to bring it up?
Now, how many problems do you think that boy is going to have? Who's my dad? Well, how is my dad dead before I was born? This doesn't make any sense. And think about this girl, what problems she must have had growing up. Now, my God.
Now, if she had the child of that person, by rule, does that mean she gets some kind of funds from his...
Oh, probably, because women find ways to get men's funds even when they're dead.
Yeah.
So...
And those women, they find new ways.
All right, so that was Dead Baby Daddy. The next one's called Date with the Dead. They said the dead live on in our hearts and minds, but in one Indonesian province, the deceased continue to walk the earth in a rather more literal zombie-like fashion.
Please tell me Weekend at Bernie's.
Families in Taraha in South Sulawesi dig up the bodies of their dead relatives before washing, grooming, and dressing them in fancy new clothes. Mm-hmm. Even dead children are exhumed. Two of these photos show the skeleton of a baby wrapped in a dress with a doll laid next to it. Damaged coffins are fixed or replaced, and the mummies are then walked around the province by following a path of straight lines. According to the ancient Tarajan belief system, the spirit of a dead person must return to the village of origin. So if a person died on a journey, the family would go back to the place of death and accompany the deceased back home by walking them to the village. So
that's gonna suck if, like, your family member dies in California and you live in, like, New York, so you got to, like, walk that entire distance with them.
See, but, you know, like, it's interesting. Like, maybe they're kind of, like, mummified. So it's, like, upkeep of the dead body, basically. But it's weird. They wash them and they dress them up. They fix their coffins up and, you know, which is, I guess, kind of nice if you want Uncle Fred to.
You know, I asked you to vacuum my carpet. You said, hell no, I'm dead and you're doing everything for me. Thanks, Mom.
Right. So, imagine seeing that shit, man. Did you just get a cramp again?
Yeah.
Mike Berlow, Cramp Master Flex, is it? Don't worry, buddy. I'll walk your dead body in a straight line to the hospital in a few minutes. He's stretching it out. He's stretching it out. He's looking good.
I'm fine.
He's fine, maybe. maybe you should go back to yoga. So imagine walking up on that, seeing some village of them just walking the dead around and giving them dolls. And then again, awake is pretty creepy if you really think about it. If you basically we sit and we talk in a room with a body in a casket.
I've never had to deal with that. That's
you never went to awake.
Well, I've been to
many.
I guess the one you're kind of talking about, like, some people have it in, like, a living room or something like that. That's just freaky when it's like in the middle of the room. It's like, where do you sit? What do you do?
All right, buddy. Last one. Ready?
This one's called
Dead Dinner. Dead Dinner. All right, as we got the spooky music playing still. Death is hard for all of us to deal with. True. But even at 91 years of age, Gene Stevens just can't seem to let people go. Soon after her husband died in 1999, she exhumed his body and continued living with him for almost two decades. When her sister died in 2009, she got the zombie treatment too. Police have taken away the woman's beloved corpses, but don't worry. They plan on returning them to her once construction of the new mausoleum on her property is complete. So, she dug up her husband.
Okay.
And she dug up her sister 10 years later.
Gotcha. And like, Stevens. They're very cool with what she did?
Apparently, the police have seized the corpses. Okay. And I guess she's building a mausoleum on the property. It says, you know, that she just wanted her husband and sister back as quick as possible.
She thought about photos.
So, Mike Berlo, this brings us to the epic conclusion of the game that doesn't have a name. But let's just recap real quick. Row, row, row your man canoe.
Yep.
Rowing the dead body in a cleansing, I guess so, ceremony. Dead baby daddy having a baby to a necrophiliac act. Action. Okay. Date with the dead. Okay. That is the people in Taraha. Okay. Where they bring the dead out and decorate them and clean them up. And then the woman who dug her sister and her husband up. Which, well, why don't you eliminate them? Let's see. Eliminate ones that are true. Tell me which ones are true. Try to leave. Yeah. That'll build the tension. Try to leave the false one to the end.
So what's going to happen? If I put one out there, are you going to immediately say yes or no? Or are we going to keep going with the thought process?
Yeah, we'll go through the whole thought process. So we'll say what three you think are true and the one that you think is false.
Let's see. The final one, the woman who dug up the family, I'm going to say that's true. It just seems like something if...
This music's perfect right now, by the way. Yeah.
It seems like something that a very depressed, very desperate person would do.
Oh, okay. Plus, that was your aunt, Jean, right?
Yeah, well, you know. I learned from the best. What can I tell you?
Okay, so you think dead dinner is true.
Correct.
Okay.
I think that dead baby daddy is true.
Dead baby daddy, the woman who got pregnant from a dead body.
Yeah, it just seems so outrageous and so crazy. But if I can somewhat see it on the basis of if she worked in the morgue, she would get it right away before any kind of formaldehyde or anything like that.
Okay. Down to two. You're down to what we call row, row, row your man canoe. And what was the title of the other one? The other one was Date with the Dead. Digging up the bodies, walking them around.
I'm going to
say, dressing them up.
I'm going to say that row, row your man canoe is true. It just seems like a kind of a ancient kind of ritual and, you know, they didn't have any cleanliness back in the day, so it's just like, yeah, he's stiff. I can roam down the river, so
I'm riding down the river. Okay. So you're saying the lie is the date with the dead.
Correct.
Michael Berlo.
Yes.
I'll build attention even more.
Uh-oh.
Michael Berlo. Dead baby daddy. True. 100%. Actually, just happened like a week ago.
Ugh.
Which is this. I'll show you the pictures of this woman in a minute. Okay.
Can you imagine if she's like a 10? She looks like Melania Trump.
Okay. Dead dinner. The woman who exhumed her father. I mean, her husband and sister. True.
Yep.
Bringing us down to your final two, Mike Berlo. Yeah. You feel the tension in the room.
I do. I'd like to phone a friend before.
Michael Berlow.
Yes.
Row, row, row your man canoe.
Mm-hmm.
False. Row, 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 man canoe was made up by yours truly, Scott Brennan.
Bravo.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So that's two for two, Berlow. Christmas and and Halloween.
Well, luckily, these things only show up once every year or so. So,
but we got. I got to show you some of the true parts of this. Okay, yeah. So this was the woman here, who
and we'll put it up on our
site. Yeah, we'll definitely do it. Mrs. Stevens. She's the one who dug up her. And she's got a picture of her husband there, and that's where they found her.
Now, did she get arrested for it? That's what I kind
of
figured.
She had like to do a certain amount of community service and stuff like that, and basically shot. Now,
does the community really want a person who digs up dead bodies to be around them?
This is the creepy man. This is that village, that one that you thought was false, where they actually decorate and wash the bodies. Look at this.
Wow. Indonesia is kind of like a business kind of country now. That's why I kind of went with that thinking. But that is
so
kind of
wild.
Man. I even said to myself, I'm like, would they really think that writing
a
dead body?
He's combing her hair.
Mm-hmm.
Gross.
Yeah.
Gross. And then we got to look at the morgue worker, and we'll put her up. And she looks like she might be dead herself or just on a lot of methamphetamine. The morgue worker arrested after giving birth.
Missy Allen.
So, that is, I got to find the name. I'm going to insert, be like, that is, that is our latest edition of, last time I think we called it like Christmas something. I don't know. But anyway, let's take a quick break and we'll be back with our special guest. All right, brother, who we got?
We are going to call up Larry Zerner, who's currently a entertainment lawyer, but more famously, the gentleman who played Shelly in Friday the 13th Part 3 and gave Jason his iconic hockey mask.
I feel like I got to keep putting on the scary music every once in a while.
I think you should chew more into the microphone.
Well, I'm having a pizza right now.
I know you are.
All right. Here we go. Mr. Larry Zerner.
Hi, it's Larry.
Hey, Larry. It's Scott Brennan from Verbal Shenanigans. Can you hear us?
Hi.
Hey.
How are you?
How's it going, Larry? we decided to bring you on. We've been looking high and far for someone for our Halloween episode of the podcast, and you were the name that my buddy here, Mike, found online. So thanks a lot for coming aboard for a few minutes.
Hey, unfortunately, this connection is not very good.
Is it too loud?
It was just breaking up a little bit.
Okay. Is that better?
That's better, yeah.
Yeah. It might have been just a little too loud going out to you. Hello?
Okay, I'm here.
Hey, Larry, it's Michael Berlew. Welcome to the podcast. How's it going?
Great. Are we recording already or no?
Yeah, we're recording. We're recording.
Okay.
this is beautiful stuff. This is beautiful stuff. So I got to ask you about...
Did you say so?
So I got to ask you about how many people try to get in contact with you around this Halloween time?
No, I don't really get much contact anymore. That sort of died down. It's been almost 35 years. So, you know, I get an email here and there. People hit me on Facebook. Really, they hit me on Friday 13th, not on Halloween.
So obviously, we brought you on. You were in one of the biggest franchises in history, Friday the 13th. So, I looked it up, and they got you just handing out, like, tickets to a Mad Max movie. Is that right?
Yeah, I had a job, you know, handing out tickets to movie screenings, which is something they do a lot in L.A., you know, to get people to you know, give their opinions. So this was, I was giving out on a Saturday night in Westwood. I had a job handing out tickets to a screening of The Road Warrior, which is a movie no one had heard of or knew anything about. These people came up to me and said, "Are you an actor?" And I was 18, and I was wanted to be an actor. I was studying acting. I was a theater major in college, and I acted all through high school. And so I thought maybe they had seen me in some way, like, you know, they saw me in The Crucible or something. And, you know, but turned out, so I said, "Yeah, I'm an actor." And they said, "Well, we wrote this movie, and we think you'd be perfect for it." So they just saw me there, fat, and with this big afro, and they just went, "That's Shelley." And they were right. So worked out.
Now, had you watched the previous two movies before you were in that?
I had not. I knew the movies, but I don't think I had seen them.
So what was your reaction? Were you trying to get – did you have any intent on trying to get into the movie industry, or were you just –
Yeah, no. I had an agent, and I had auditions. I just hadn't – I mean, I'd only turned – this was – like, you really can't work until you're 18, you know, because of labor laws. You know, unless you're really good, you know, you're not really working until you're 18. And I only turned 18 4 months earlier. So I'd been on some auditions, but, you know, I'd only really started – as a professional actor, you know, 4 months earlier.
That's just a pure right place, right time kind of thing then, I guess.
Purely right place, right time.
Now, was it did they shoot the movie in Hollywood, or was it in New Jersey? I believe the first one was shot in New Jersey, right?
First two were filmed back east. This one they did film up out in, well, about 40 miles outside of L.A., to avoid union rules. So we were in LA area.
And what did you think about, like, your character in the movie and stuff like that? Were you going in, I mean, were you kind of hoping, "Hey, can I be the hero for this movie? Or maybe I could take him out," or something like that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I had lots of thoughts about all sorts of things, but, you know, they give you the script and go, "This is your part, and this is what you're going to do, and you're going to die, and you're not going to be the hero," because that's not, you know, in the Fighter Heath movie, the fat, schlubby guy is not the hero. He's dead meat. That's the rule. So that was not an option. But, you know, it was great. It was, I mean, the part was, it was as if... It was as if someone had written the part for me. Like, if my best friend had said, "I'm going to write a part just for you." That's what they sort of described. I mean, Shelley is a wannabe actor, and he's a practical joker, and he's got insecurity issues, and he's got this big afro, and all that stuff. And that was all the stuff they wrote in the script. So it wasn't much of a stretch. In fact, the first day, the director said to me, he said, "Look, don't put on a character. Just it's you, you know." So that was Shelley is very close to me at the time.
Now, when you know that you're not going to be the hero in a movie, it's got to be pretty cool to die in a horror movie. It's got to be pretty awesome.
Yeah. Oh, it was so much fun. I recommend it to everybody. It's a lot of fun.
So. Can you explain, like, what it's like to go into, like, a death scene? Like, are you, like, laughing the whole time, but you still got to be serious? Like, I don't know. Like, we are not actors, so we've never – the only thing we've done is died on a comedy stage before, but we've never died on film. I don't know. I would love to hear the thought process behind doing a death scene.
Yeah, it was tough. Because, you know, I was trying to take it seriously and go, you know, and he actually has a, you know, unlike, you know, some people just, you know, their head squashed in and they're dead. But I had to actually come in and die, right? That's in the movie. And so you're sort of like, mentally, what are you doing and how are you going to play this and how are you going to, you know, you're bleeding and you're running, you know, you're running all this stuff. And then the director just said to me, he said, "No one really seen anyone die like this, so don't worry about it." It was also really cool. We filmed it. It was like 2 in the morning. It was we were out in the, you know, in the mountains. It was cold. I was wet because he's wearing a scuba suit and he's kind of wet. So it was not comfortable in any way. So it wasn't that kind of didn't have the fun of some of the other death scenes. But,
Now, in essence, you are the character who made Jason iconic by giving him the hockey mask and all. Like, after a few films, were you kind of like, yeah, I did that. I did that.
Well, it's nice to have that as, I mean, I was an actor for a while, and I know, you know, so I know a lot of actors. You know, all my friends were actors, and I know a lot of actors who are a lot better than me, and they don't have, you know, they've done movies, but if you ask them, you know, you can't name anything they were in or whatever. And I did basically one movie, and I get to say I gave Jason his hockey mask, and everyone knows what that means.
Yeah,
and that's cool. It's cool that, you know, the character has some, you know, small mark in film history, and that's great. You know, it's great, better than not having it.
Now, I mean, that's got to be really cool every once in a while. But like, did you go on to like follow the series at all afterwards, or
actually, I didn't. I didn't really watch the other movies too much, and that was sort of I remember when 4 came out the next year, and I'm just like, oh, fuck that. You know, I'm not in it, so fuck them. And then
flashback to Shelley.
Auditions, and I'd run into Crispin Glover. And Crispin would be like, hey. And for those of you who don't know, Crispin basically was the Shelley role in part 4. And he'd come up to me and go, hey, how's it going? And I'd be like, hey, how are you? I had no, all I knew was that George McFly was talking to me, and I didn't know why. I was like, George, he knows who I am. Like, I guess he's seen Fighter Deep. I had no idea he was in. Like, he knew who I was because he was like, hey, we're in the thing. But he never said that, and I hadn't seen part 4, so I felt really bad because I never had that conversation with Crispin where I'm like, oh, yeah, we have that thing. Together, and he's so great in part 4 too. So I ended up not seeing it until like 10 years ago.
So the franchise goes on and on and on and on and on and on. It's still relevant today. I'm sure maybe back then you had people recognize you from that. Do you still get people like who might see you and be like, oh my god, are you this? Or has that kind of died out over the years? Like, are you Shelley?
I have to be in the right place. So I don't, I mean, when the movie came out, there was a period of a couple of months where if I went out, people, you know, would stop me and say something. Because I'm very recognizable. I mean, I had the afro and I looked exactly the same. And I remember, like, going to Magic Mountain, a few weeks after the movie opened. And it was just like you could just hear people going, you know, as I walked by, you know, Shelley, it's like, you know, because the movie was number one at the box office. It was a big hit. And that was, you know, so I had a little taste of fame, and then slowly went away. And now, like, I'll go, like, I was at Spare LA a few months ago, which is a thing for makeup effects. And a couple of people, you know, there were people who were like, oh, my God, you know, they knew who I was and they recognized me. So I got to be in the right place, you know, with people who are dedicated fans to be recognized. But on the street, now I don't get recognized at all.
Now,
it's just been a long time. No one's going, oh, my God. You know.
Verbal shenanigans are. Yeah. Don't doubt yourself.
Listen, we're only 35 years behind the curve. It's our motto.
Yeah, right.
Now, after you do that, it's a number one movie. You must be pumped. What happens after that? And are you, like, fighting for other acting roles? Were you trying other stuff? Or what happened afterwards?
Yeah, not a lot. I you know, the sad truth is that being in a Friday the 13th movie is not really a launching pad for being in for a career. It doesn't really lead to much. Most of the people in Friday the 13th movies, I mean, there are notable exceptions. well, Crispin and Kevin Bacon, but it just wasn't it didn't really lead to much. So did a few other things and then gave it up.
So what are you doing with yourself now?
Sorry?
So what are you doing with yourself nowadays?
Oh, so I gave up acting many years ago, and I went to law school, and I've been a lawyer for 25 years. So I'm an entertainment lawyer, and I represent people in the entertainment industry, and I do a lot of certain amount of work with horror related stuff, which is fun, I did like the legal work on the Crystal Lake Memories documentary, the Never Sleep Again documentary. And people sometimes call me because they know that people in the horror community know, you know, that I'm a lawyer, so I get calls that way. It's fun.
Now, as I've read up on you, I see your copyright infringement, work with copyright infringements in Hollywood. I mean, we always hear the same joke that most movies are just stealing from other movies. So do you get a lot of stuff where it's like that somebody comes up to you, oh, I want to sue, and it's kind of like you don't have a foot to stand on, or?
Yeah, 95% of people who call me, they don't have a leg to stand on, because they see similarities between their work and the other work, and then they first of all, they think, oh my God, no one else could have had that idea, when the idea itself is fairly obvious. So, and that's something, you know, or you get a lot of crazy people who call, and because they should have been infringed, and I say, well, how did they get a copy of your script? And they go, oh no, they're just reading my mind. You know, they're just tapping it right into my brain. So I get that call every once in a while, which is, you know, a little disheartening. But, you know, the fact is, to prove copyright infringement, the infringement has to be a lot more than people think. The standard is just, it has to be substantially similar, not just similar. So you really got to show not just it's the same idea, which is pretty much what most people have, which is the same idea, but that it's the characters are the same, the dialogue is the same, the way the plot works is the same. It can't just be. I mean, a good example is Big, the movie Big, and Freaky Friday, and 18 Again. I mean, there's a whole bunch of body reversal movies, right, where people, young person and old person, switch, switch bodies. Right, the idea has been used many, many times, and there's just many, many ways to do it. But so no one owns that idea, and that's what's hard for people to really comprehend.
Interesting. So, when you look back on, like, you know, like, now that you're still in, when you went into law, like, did you want to get into the entertainment part of law because you were trying to be an actor, or was that just coincidence too?
Yeah, I was a little ambivalent when I started law school, but I was like not going anywhere with my career, and I was like, I had to do something. So I had the opportunity and I took it. And, but I knew I wanted to work in the entertainment. Like, I knew I wasn't going to do criminal or tax law or divorce law. I wanted to work in entertainment. And luckily I've been able to do that, for, you know, my whole career, which has been great.
I see you also, couple things that came out this year, and all. Do you just get the acting bug here and there, or just somebody calls up and you got a couple minutes?
So I did a couple of movies this year, Cam. Really, the small, I mean, you know, the small parts, but I enjoy it. It's a great release, and these are clients of mine or friends of mine who asked me to come and be in their movie, and it's like, sure, you know, that'll be fun. And if it works in my schedule and I can take the day off and come do a part, it's great. It's great to be able to spread that wing, you know, to exercise that muscle every once in a while.
If you can go back in time, how would have Shelley taken care of Jason Voorhees?
I'm sorry, what's that?
If you could have gone back and rewritten the movie, how would have Shelley taken care of Jason Voorhees?
How would he have taken care of him?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's a question I haven't gotten before. Let's see. He goes into the barn and, you know, he picks up some sort of, I hope he picks up the pitchfork and rams him in the head. I'd like to do that.
I don't know what.
The problem is you can't really kill Jason, right? He never really does. So
exactly.
At the end of the day, you're going to get killed.
I don't know what Jason movie it was. I think it was one of the later ones where he killed someone in a sleeping bag.
Yeah, that came up a couple times. I think it was 7.
That's 9 or 7.
Oh, man.
And it was redone in Freddy versus Jason.
Wow. Yeah, that one was crazy.
Oh, no, it was Jason X.
So is Jason your favorite horror icon, or you don't really you don't really care?
Well, Jason's the one that I have, you know, I have a relationship with Jason, and so... you know, but I'm looking at, I have a hockey mask in my room and in my office. I have a lot of little Jason dolls that I've collected and
that's awesome.
They sit on my desk and give me a reminder of my other life. So yeah, you know, I mean, I like the Nightmare on Elm Street movies. Not a huge, I mean, other than the first Halloween, I'm not a big fan of the other Halloween movies. So. Mm.
Now, I got to ask you, you were on Doug Benson's I Love Movies podcast. How does Verbal Shenanigans rate against Doug Benson?
A lot less weed.
Well, here's the thing. When I went on with Doug, and he said, you can pick other guests to come on. And I picked, and this was 10 years ago, I picked Aziz Ansari and Maria Bamford. And so they were on the podcast with me. And
wow,
that
that's
was
a solid
a treat.
Panel.
So
Jesus.
If you start getting Aziz and Maria on the podcast with you, then you will rank with Doug.
All right. So we're second best. Thanks.
And then we did. Doug invited me. He started to do this thing, which he still does every month, where he does a movie interruption, like Mystery Science Theater, and they do it at the Cine Family in L.A. And the first one he did was Friday 13 Part 3, and it was me. So it was me and Doug and Chris Hardwick and Scott Aukerman from this Comedy Bang Bang, and we interrupted Part 3, and that was so fantastic. I wish there was a tape of it. It was just great.
That's great. Well, I want to thank you for coming on for a few minutes, and it was really, really interesting interview, actually. And it was great that we put this together in under a day and under 2 days or whatever. And thanks for coming on.
All right, thanks for having me.
If anybody wants to check you out or send you a message if they saw this, where should they go? Twitter? Or...
Oh, yeah, you can go to ZernerLaw.com, ZernerLaw, ZernerLaw.com. Just Google Larry Zerner. You'll see that comes up right up on Google.
All right, man, thanks a lot. Big Larry Zerner in the house.
Yeah, it was definitely...
very interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Interesting to hear about the other side with the law and everything like that, and he's still in the horror community. So.
Yeah, that's one thing. That horror community, once you're in, I feel like you could find something forever.
All of them.
It's like the wrestling community, man. You find these guys like signing autographs who are just like, you know.
If you play Doink the Clown at any point, you're a millionaire right now.
So why don't we take a break, come back, and we'll start to see you attempt the pumpkin here.
Yeah.
And then maybe we'll take one more phone call.
All right.
All right, so we are back here, and I'm actually standing up right now because the girls they took the seats as normal. They took the seats, and they're ready to... carve the pumpkin. My girlfriend decided to get the zittiest looking, sexually transmitted disease looking pumpkin there is at the store, but it's okay. I'm actually standing up. I have the microphone on top of a Poland Spring water bottle thing. So, Michael Berlew, things are happening for you right now.
You are about to carve your first pumpkin.
Yeah, yeah. I'm kind of looking over the situation, looking at the tools.
Now, I have provided tools for you on the table.
You want to look.
There's
look
a spoon. There's a couple knives. There's a marker. There's a lot of different things. There's also a shot of Captain Morgan Jack-O-Lantern or something like that it's called. But real quick, you have something going on you've been doing all October. So when this episode comes up, you probably have a week left, but why don't you explain it to the audience real quick?
Well, what I've decided to do, of course, brilliant me, I figured this out on September 30th to do this. All through October, I am doing reviews of pumpkin spice flavored items, and I'm about to do my latest episode. It will be day 10 when I release this, whatever this goes up. It's called Pumpkin Spice Whatever. I do it live on Facebook on my comedy page, The Burls 721, you know, the nickname that Scott won't say.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just checking out different random things, whether I think they're going to be good or bad or anything else. It's just trying to figure out what gives me the greatest pumpkin satisfaction. If you
all right. And so what are you about to try today?
Today will be the Russell Stover Pumpkin Spice Latte Candy Bar.
Now, as a change, would you like me to film you as you do this?
Ooh, would you?
Maybe I will. All right, we are back. Michael Burley, you just did your pumpkin spice whatever. Whether it makes the cut or not, we'll see when I get to the editing stage of this.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be on our page for sure.
Yeah.
And he'll keep doing that all the way through the end of the month. So, Michael Burlow, the anticipation in your heart has to be through the roof right now.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
Your first pumpkin that you've ever done, your first jack-o'-lantern.
Yeah. I mean, this will be fun regardless. Since I can't look up anything, I'm just kind of reviewing the whole thing. Where,
now, can you honestly tell the audience right now that you have never looked up anything on how to carve a pumpkin? Nothing.
I did not look up a single thing prior to...
Do you swear on the Washington Redskins season?
Well, that won't really mean much if you looked how they played. Granted, they're 3-2.
Right. Right.
I swear on the Washington Redskins season that Michael Burlew did not look up anything on how to carve a pumpkin.
All right.
Prior to today.
All right. So, Michael Burlew, go ahead. You can start doing your pumpkin. I'll talk and kind of narrate as we're going on, and maybe I'll bring up some other Halloween topics. So, Michael Burlew is going to the top with the knife. Looks like a very experienced man with a knife, which is kind of interesting. I feel like I'm narrating that food challenge again. He's stabbing very violently. Very violently. Oh, now he's got a carving motion going. So, so far, so good, Mike Burlew. Hopefully somewhere along the line you have seen how a pumpkin's carved, maybe even on TV somewhere, but we'll see how you do. And,
I'm sure there's a rough idea. It's a whole making the pattern and making it look like it wasn't done by a 6-year-old.
Now, I think I told this story at least on one of the Halloween podcasts. But when you think of Halloween, right, you think of costumes and whatnot. I remember this story. My dad used to always be very helpful with our Halloween costumes. And like one year I was looking back, I kind of had some very gay Halloween costumes. But I was a scuba diver one year, and I thought that was like the coolest thing. We made like an oxygen tank out of like Sprite bottles on the back and spray painted them yellow. But the problem was like try trick or treating in flippers all day. It kind of sucks going around. So Mike Burlow's got the top of the pumpkin off. He's smelling the pumpkin. So what are your reactions? You got the top off. So pretend it's like the first time with a woman. You got the top off.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, yeah. Hey, ho, hi.
There's a lot of stuff in there. I didn't. I figured there'd be a couple seeds here and there, but I didn't think this much.
So you are wowed at the amount of seeds. So now you get the scooper in your hand.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to get the stuff out.
So, I remember trick-or-treating in... I had flippers attached to the top of my shoes all day. So picture like walking through the neighborhood like... Like plastic flippers scraping on the asphalt all day.
And if like a dog attacked you or something, you're just dead. There's no way I'm running in that costume.
Man running with my dog. First off, keep talking, brother, because my dog has another yogurt container in his mouth.
So I'm inside the pumpkin right now. I'm trying to grab all the goo out of it. There's a lot of seeds in here.
Would you grab the pumpkin's pussy?
If I wanted to be a great leader, I would.
So, another costume I remember. I would
Scott, I know it's one in the pink, two in the stink. How much in the orange?
Whatever you feel, buddy.
All
right. I'm going full fist.
So another thing I remember I was a toy soldier. That was my big idea. My grandma, like, knit me a toy soldier costume. I had, like, the red cheeks, and, like, that was my big idea to be a toy soldier. So looking back, like, I wanted to be a scuba diver and a toy soldier. Not the manliest. Like, a lot of kids wanted to be ninjas and things like that, but I was a toy soldier and a scuba diver.
Were you, like, full green costume? Like, was your face painted green and all that fun stuff?
For which one? No, I was, like, a toy soldier, like a
I didn't know scuba divers painted themselves green.
No, like a Christmas toy soldier. Oh. Like a nutcracker kind of looking toy soldier.
Why were you doing a Christmas outfit in October?
I don't really know exactly, but I remember my grandma like knit my brother a gigantic dinosaur outfit. One of the funniest things, I may have mentioned this last year, but my dad built my brother this robot costume. So my brother's in a robot costume, and he puts his arms through like this big cardboard box that's like silver. And my dad like ran wires through it to hook up Christmas lights, like so he'd be blinking and shit. And my brother, like, painted his face, and he had this big cardboard box around his head to be a robot. And so he's trick-or-treating and all, and there's a huge storm while he's trick-or-treating. And, like, the lights start short-circuiting, and, like, the box is half blown off his head, and the makeup's all smeared, and he, like, comes home crying, like, you know, like, he's all disheveled and whatnot. And one of my fondest memories of Halloween, yeah. But
did Halloween's... we talk about the my toothpaste outfit on here before?
Yes, but you know what? Okay. You know what? I guarantee 92% of our audience, a.k.a. everyone but Dom, has not heard that. So you might as well tell it again.
All right. So the synopsis, this is not a Halloween story, but...
it's pretty great.
Yeah, I'm in the...
Meanwhile, Burlow's got a good chunk of the pumpkin out of the pumpkin.
Yeah.
A good chunk of seeds and mush and stuff like that.
There's a lot in here. It's taking a while.
Yeah.
Arm's getting tired. I'm worried about an arm cramp.
You know? Yeah, I mean, you do have like two podcast-related injuries at this point. We call them PRIs in the business.
Put me on injury reserve. But in any case, it was around the... it was either second or third grade, and it was the usual second or third grade play for everybody, and there's different scenes involved with the different characters. So I got the drawing of the toothbrush. And I go out there with the girl who dresses as teeth, and we go out there, and we're supposed to teach all the children about dental hygiene. So when you come home and you tell your mom, hey, I got to be a toothbrush, I mean, she's thinking of ideas. And what she basically did was she took pretty much the equivalent of a refrigerator box and shoved me in it and then put, like, a very heavy, like, brush top.
This is one of my favorite stories.
Yeah, so she didn't think about stuff
Now, like, before you go on, did you have to, like, manually brush the teeth? Like, the girl who was the teeth?
No,
like,
no. It was just down, talk.
We like, at a sock hop kind of thing? You know, like...
No, my range wasn't that good back then. It was just basically go up there in the costumes, look cute, go up there, tell a story of how important hygiene is, and get off the stage.
So even then, you were teaching girls not to use teeth.
Exactly. So, my mom makes a costume, and she doesn't put into consideration certain things like, hey, I might have to move my arms and or legs. So, it's so big, I can't just, like, wear it going to the place where I can, like, practice walking around in it. So, I show up at the school. It's the night of the play. And I put on the thing, and I can't move for nothing out there. And
picture, like, your lines in the play, like, make sure to brush your teeth twice a day. Like, otherwise you'll lose them.
I didn't keep the script. I apologize.
Right, but, right. We can always remake it if you want. Next year's challenge.
Verbal shenanigans.
redo the toothbrush scene.
I hate you and love you in the same way on that. But, so yeah, I put on the costume, and the next one. Me and her, the next one in line, and they just shove us out there, and I'm literally waddling going up there, and the entire auditorium is just bawling in laughter looking at me. I have a big refrigerator box on my body that says Crest on it.
Yes.
With a big heavy top, and we're going up there, and I say my first line, and the girl next to me is just laughing. And, like, everybody else is laughing, and I'm getting pissed off, so I'm just, like, punching her on the side. I'm like, say your line. And I'm up there for probably a good 8 minutes of just the entire school and all the parents laughing at me. And then after that ordeal, we're done with the thing, and I'm walking down, and there's stairs, and I realize there's no possible way I can walk downstairs. So what I had to do was the fall of faith, where I turn around and like three parents try to catch my heavy ass in the third grade in a refrigerator box marked Crest.
So you just had to do like a trust fall as a toothbrush.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Will that be a part of the reenactment?
Oh, man. But anyway,
and that's why I grew up the way I was.
Yeah, these are Halloween memories. And we're going to be back in a little bit. Berlo is currently scooping out his pumpkin, and we'll tell you how it goes. And I'm going to start my pumpkin. The girls are going to start theirs, and we'll be back in a little bit. All right, Berlo. So you're into your pumpkin carving. You're doing pretty well.
Thank you.
You removed the top. Unlike in real life, when you remove the top, you actually did this right, and you still have your pants on, which is good. Which is good, good stuff.
I didn't know you're supposed to ask him before you do it.
Right.
That was weird.
But you were telling, you know, since it's a Halloween edition of the show, you were telling a funny story about the pumpkin patch.
I'm going to kill you, Scott.
That's all right, is he?
Yeah. So,
you can kill me all you want.
So right beside us is my lovely girlfriend, Isabel, and it's been great and everything, but we hit hit that first little itty bitty bump there.
There's always bumps.
Yeah, so basically what happened was when she came, it was her off day. She just did a nighttime shift, and she didn't get a lot of sleep that night. She probably got about an hour's worth of sleep. And we were going over stuff to do. Originally, we were going to go up to a winery and do a pig roast and items like that. But we didn't go ahead and do it. So we went into Chester, and we found a farm there where they do, like, nighttime, like, hay rides. They give out apple cider. Real Harvest Moon, that's what they call it, the Harvest Moon.
Oh, that's festival. Like the Harvest Moon where we went in New Brunswick, the little microbrewery.
Yeah, so basically we're leading up to that, and we're watching some TV. We're watching Discovery ID, which is also known as the Murder Channel.
I've heard this bit before.
Yeah, from some guy I know. I think he's Asian, but still.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're watching the TV. I mean, I had a kind of stressful week. I was watching it, and I'm like, oh, I know some, it was October 1st, and I knew some of my favorite guys who do, like, YouTube videos, like James Rolfe, the Angry Video Game Nerd. He started his Monster Madness, where he does different horror movie reviews. So I run over there, and I turn on the video. And I heard her say, "What you watching?" I didn't hear anything else about it.
Real quick, if you hear a bunch of like working elves in the background, that's everyone carving pumpkin. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's pretty good.
That was pretty decent.
Anyway, continue.
That sounded like me eating the candy bar in the microphone while you're taping.
Yeah, that sounded like you in the closet before.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, after that happened, I noticed she went into the bedroom, and I just kept on watching videos, and I even went into the bedroom, like, everything cool? And she's like, yep, yep, no problem, watching my General Hospital. And then, like, 20 minutes later, she comes out and announces, I'm going to go walk and pick up my car. She had a flat tire earlier that day. And she's like, I'm going to go pick up the car. And I said, well, that place is about 2.5 miles down the road. And she's like, and I ate a lot. I need to lose some weight. You know, it's something to do, blah, 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 whatever.
So now when she was going to go pick up the car.
Walk to pick up the car.
Yeah. Now she was going to pick it up with a flat tire, like drive it home. Like, plop, 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 plop,
no, plop, it was at the shop. She got the new tire.
Right.
But she chose that she was going to walk down and get it versus me driving her down there. And I'm like, okay, that seemed a little odd. And I watched a couple of videos. I watched like another video. I'm like, all right, I'm going to put on my shoes and stuff and I'm going to go pick her up because we're going to go to the Harvest Moon Festival soon, right?
Right.
So then I get this, I would say, paragraph of a text describing how, you know, I couldn't tell you face to face, but, you know, you upset me. You know, you always are so entranced with your videos and you don't pay attention to me, blah, blah, blah. And I don't know how to explain this to you. And I read it and I'm kind of like, okay, whatever. I'm in the doghouse, whatever. Go down.
Well, everyone knows that you love to be in the dog house. Uh-huh, so. Uh-huh.
That's adorable. Next guy. The dog reference. Good for you.
Yeah. Good.
So I pick her up. We get the car, bring the car back, and we head out to Harvest Moon. And we're there. I'm getting apple cider. I'm talking to her. I'm like, this apple cider ain't as good as the other one. She's like, yeah. And I'm like, hey, you know, you want to go pick a pumpkin or something? Fine.
You want to throw me a frisbee for a few minutes?
No. Like, she's giving me nothing but one-word answers.
Right.
So the tractor comes, takes us out to the middle of the field. Keep in mind, this is a huge field, and it's night, so it's pitch black. There's no lights anywhere.
Right.
And the guy drops us off in the pumpkin patch. Then this girl starts hightailing it as fast as she can, walking away from me with her arms crossed. And I'm trying to keep up with her. I mean, usually she has to keep up with me because of my long legs. And she just bailed. Like, she easily did 3/4 of a mile in front of me. She basically went until she realized there's nowhere in the field to go. And there's no lights for probably the next 10 miles going that direction.
Right.
So she just turns around and says, let's just go home. Let's just go home. And she wouldn't talk to me. So, all right. We go back to the tractor. I sit down on a pail of hay. She sits on
the best is like, it's this like image of like, it's this happy place, like this place where you sit on hay, uh-huh, and you're miserable in the tractor. Yeah. Like,
mm-hmm,
like, I can, yeah, picture, like.
So I sat down and she purposely sat down like 3 hay bales. Away from me.
Hail bells or hay bells?
Both.
I picture you like, you know, like on the tractor with your head in your hands, and then it's like, like, and she's on the other end, and you both are like kind of like twiddling your hay on the ground.
But,
like, yeah.
So I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, I start getting texts from her. Like, she sends me like 4 texts in probably 15 seconds. And I just turned to her and said, I'm here. And she doesn't respond, and she starts texting me again, and I'm getting a little upset, so just to prove a point to her, I looked over to her, and I put the phone in the pocket, just to show her, you can text me all you want, I'm not watching this.
Right.
So, we get back, and she's like, let's just go, and we start walking, and we start arguing about stuff, and what it basically comes to. The first thing she brought up was I wanted to go to a bar to see a Redskins Cowboys game.
God forbid.
Yeah, and I didn't give her advance notice on issue. Then
I got yelled at the other day by my girlfriend. She's like, "You've been to 11 Oktoberfest and haven't taken me to one." I said, "I haven't been to one yet, not one yet."
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what Oktoberfest have I been to? She's like, you know, like the ones, the fat step one in
July.
You know,
that was the biggest Oktoberfest ever.
Those fats.
Hi, I'm Alex.
But anyway, finish up.
Anyway, so we're going a little back and forth, and her next thing was, I was trying to watch the TV show, and I was looking forward to hearing who the murderer was, and then you blasted your video, and I asked you to turn it down, and you didn't do anything, and you don't pay attention to me. And I'm like, could you just, you know, bump me? Tell me to lower it down? I told you that I wanted to lower it down. Yeah, I clearly didn't hear you. Could you have just told me that? And then she's like, well, you don't listen. And I'm Mr. Murder. I'm like, can't you hit the rewind button where you can get the answer immediately? So we're in good form. And then at one point, she's like trying to talk. I'm trying to talk back to her. And she does the whole hands on the ears. La, 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 la. I'm not listening.
Wow.
So I go over, maybe not the best, but I grabbed her hand, just say, hey, I'm trying to talk to you. And she's like, oh, no, you didn't. And she starts walking away, and we're both angry as hell. So I get to the point, I'm like, all right, you know, we're done, whatever. So I start walking back to the car, because I see her walking to the street. And as angry as I am walking to the car, I'm like, all right, I'm going to get in the car, I'm going to take off, I'm going to pick her up at the street. Little I know, apparently the second I said, you know, we're over, she started walking after me, and she didn't realize I didn't know that, so I take off, and she's panicking that I just left her at a farm in the middle of the woods. So then I get a call like, why are you leaving me? I'm going to pick you up. I was behind you! Why are you leaving me? You were going to the road. You said you were going home.
Sounds about right. Yep. Sounds about right.
Got in the car, shouted it out, hugged, took a picture on top of a big haystack, and
for the kissing wall?
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll be back in a few minutes. We'll let Berlu carve a little bit, and I'm going to carve a little bit, and then we'll finish up. All right, Mike Berlu. So how's the pumpkin going, the pumpkin carving? Why don't you give us a little update? Tell us where you are. Like, you're in a storm. Like, hey, let's check in Berlu. Now he's doing the pumpkin carving. Let's see what's going on.
I'm getting through my idea. I think I messed up a little bit, but I think I can kind
It's
of
the
save
negative
it.
Space thing that my brain has a hard time wrapping around. Like, one time I made a haunted house on a pumpkin. That took a long time. But so how's it going? Tell us how it's going.
It's interesting. I'm not the most artistic type, so it's not going to exactly win any pumpkin carving competitions.
That's not true. You are the most autistic type.
I was waiting for that. Mm-hmm. I was thinking it.
Well, you know, it's getting there. Let's see if I can clean it up.
Are you enjoying yourself?
Yes. Yes, I am. Yes. It's like a little adult childhood thing. That didn't sound right.
Yeah,
so
that made it creepier.
I was in the back of an ice cream truck. Yeah, when? Never.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Hold on, we got a phone call.
What?
We got a phone call. There's a phone call coming. Hello? Hello?
Hello? Is anybody on?
Hello!
Oh, I think I remember you from some time ago.
Hey!
Is this who I think it is?
Who you think it is? Who you think it be?
I think it would be one Mr. Hack-O-Lantern.
Call again. I'm here. I can't wait to be on the Verbal Shenanigans podcast one more time.
I'm glad to have you back. Scott went over to do his pumpkin.
Why don't you tell people who I is?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the Hack-O-Lantern is a living pumpkin who is also a stand-up comedian who's been doing this for about, 25 years, Hack-O-Lantern?
Oh, Hack-O-Lantern has been around since all the greats. Since all the greats. He's been around since Carlin. He's been around since Rock. And that's why he also has Chris Rock's voice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Stole it. Took it.
I'm gonna have
He
to...
took it from me, actually.
Oh, no. He right. did. Oh, man. So what brings you back to the show here, Hack-O-Lantern?
Oh, God. I told you. I heard you were doing a Halloween special without Hack-O-Lantern. The Hack-O-Lantern. That is bullshit.
Well, you didn't give us your phone number when you left.
It's 1-800. That's it. That's all it is. Yeah. It's 1-800.
Yeah. I just got a busy signal after.
Yeah. That. You just dial 1-800 and oh god, I'm on the phone. I'm on the line.
Okay. So, Hackler, I mean, it's been a whole year. What have you been up to, buddy?
Oh, I've been just watching these debates. These ones that are getting spicy.
Oh, man. Really? I mean, are you more Republican or Democrat?
Oh, I see this Trump guy. This Trump guy, you know, he's talking about all the Mexicans going to build a wall. Mm-hmm. Build a wall. You know, my question is, if the Mexicans get around, they ain't going to be around. Who's going to build it? Oh, god.
I would assume the U.S. government hack a lantern.
No.
Wouldn't that be it?
No, I can't wait for Hillary Clinton to be president.
Oh, really? You're a Hillary supporter.
Absolutely. You know why?
Why is that?
Because that'll make Bill Clinton the first lady. Oh, God!
Yeah, I guess that would be his designation. Yeah.
That's an original joke wrote by Hack H.O. Lantern.
Well, what's your writing process, Hack-A-Lantern?
Oh, you see, what I like to do is I like to go to open mics and shows mm-hmm. and stuff like that and see what's going on in the world and maybe do one or two jokes that I heard once or twice.
Yeah. Now, Hack-A-Lantern, I got to be honest with you. As I'm doing this thing called pumpkin spice whatever,
and
I'm eating a lot of stuff. I'm gaining weight, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's your advice to people who are fat?
Oh, Hack-A-Lantern got a lot of, you know, one time he was with this fat girl. She jumped in the air and she got stuck. Oh, God.
Did that really happen, Hack-A-Lantern?
Yeah. You know what? She went to put her belt on, but she didn't have a boomerang. Oh, God.
Hack-A-Lantern, I'm starting to think you're doing material on the show instead of having a real interview with me.
What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, it just seems like you're doing a bunch of one-liners right
no,
now.
No. You know what? How about the Asians?
I was about to say, with the everything going on, Donald Trump keeps on talking about China. What are your thoughts on China?
Oh, you know what? The other day, I was Hack-A-Lantern himself was with a Chinese girl.
Really?
Yeah. With a Chinese girl, and then, you know what? I was like, oh, baby, I want a 69. You know what? She gave me beef and broccoli. Oh, God, oh!
You're really loud for being over on the phone there, Hack-A-Lantern.
Oh, Hack-A-Lantern got good reception. Best service in the world.
Oh, man. So, Hack-A-Lantern, I mean, the way you're talking, I mean, I guess you're really great with women and all. Do you have a lot of experience with women?
Yeah, Hack-A-Lantern got a lot of experience with women. You know why Hack-A-Lantern, he's always with women, and you know why he's always with women who know what time it is, right?
Really? Why is that?
Because the time is always on the oven. Oh!
Hack-A-Lantern. That was uncalled for. Oh. Our female audience won't appreciate
it. Hack-A-Lantern likes Italian women.
Really? What is it about Italian women?
You ever notice, how can you tell an airplane is an Italian airline?
I don't know, Hack-A-Lantern.
Because it got hair under the wings. Oh!
I don't think Air Italia has that, Hack-A-Lantern.
Oh, God.
You seem to be enjoying yourself tonight, Hack-A-Lantern.
No, Hack-A-Lantern. Hack-A-Lantern always has fun.
Yeah.
Hack-A-Lantern has fun, you know. He always has fun. And, you know, you guys are fun, too.
Well, what kind of people you hang out with, Hack-A-Lantern?
I don't really hang out with people at all. I'd always be getting down in the pumpkin patch.
Oh, is there like a lot of crazy dances and stuff like that in the pumpkin patch?
You do the dance. You know what's a funny joke about Hack-A-Lantern the other night? Hack-A-Lantern was driving down the highway, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well. And he was coming to Denville, right? And a Denville police officer pulled him over. And she's like, you know, it was a female police officer. Well, actually, it was a male police officer. And he was like, you know, Hack-A-Lantern, you're so handsome. I'd like to invite you to the policeman's ball.
Really?
Yeah.
And I mean, did you go?
I said, wow, I don't want to go because I didn't know policemen have balls. Oh, go! Oh! Oh, I'm breaking up.
The Hack-A-Lantern.
I'm breaking up. I gotta go, baby. I gotta go. See you next Halloween, buddy.
Oh, Hack-A-Lantern. Bye-bye.
Oh, God. All right. So let's get out of here, Mike Berlow. We are we are getting to the end here, and we've done a lot of different things. We can keep going and going and going. But you know what? There's always next Halloween. There's always next Halloween. This is our third Halloween episode.
Oh, look at that.
I think this would make this year our third Christmas episode.
Ooh.
Kind of crazy. But keep following the podcast. Keep doing all the time. Brother, you made a vampire pumpkin.
Yeah.
That's not bad for a guy who never done it before.
Wait, I thought we were supposed to have them vote to figure out what I did.
Oh, yeah, maybe we can do that. We can always cut that out.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. We could have them vote. No. We'll have them vote on the week before this episode goes up. So
There we go. And then they can make sense.
So you did a vampire pumpkin. I had a really intricate Met symbol going on.
Yeah.
I even carved an apple in it, and it got fucked up. The girls, Alex did the pretty much the stereotypical pumpkin face, and your girl did
very
like,
racist.
Your girl did like a bat that turned into an owl that turned into a gopher. I don't really know what it might be, but we'll put the four pumpkins up. Mm-hmm. So that is the reveal. Michael Berlow, anything to promote before we get out of here?
I'll just do my site, theburrow721, facebook.com/theburrow721. By the time this is up, tonight on The Walking Dead's going to return, and I'm going to be near the tail end of my pumpkin spice whatever. So keep it up, and I'm going to be doing other stuff and videos and reviewing those Leprechaun movies for a few more shenanigan showdown points.
Sounds good, buddy. And I guess I will... I'm going to promote on October... Let's see, this will be a... Yes, October 23rd, I will be at Triumph Brewery, a comedy show. It's a Rocco Romeo show. I'll be there with Doug Karff and Aaron McGuire and Molly Sperduto, all the gingers in the house.
Mm-hmm.
That should be an awesome time, so come on out to that. Please keep subscribing to the podcast. Leave a review on iTunes, because that really helps us. And I guess that's about it, people. Have a happy Halloween. Do your costumes and shit. And watch some horror movies and whatnot. And
dress up in slutty costumes, ladies.
Yeah, we'll be back in a week. Life is funny. Laugh at it. Adios. This is by far the worst song of all time.
Yeah. And it's a mandatory song at a Halloween. And suddenly.
But still, why I say we gotta capitalize on the market and just make the new Halloween song. Everyone tries to do the Christmas song, but we gotta capitalize on the Halloween song.
There's zero Thanksgiving. We got the whole market.
Turkey, stuff it in you. In you. Turkey, stuff it in you. Alright, that'll be for next month, people. Goodbye. I love you.
I do too.
The ghouls all came from their humble abode to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.